today. Betty and I have felt right at home, have enjoyed our time here, and of course getting to be here where our family is and all that is just special to us. But a lot of you that we know as well, and we're glad to be able to be here for this Lord's Day. And I appreciate you inviting us to come, and thankful to the Lord for it. And I want to repeat the invitation that I made at Sunday school this morning and tell you, if you've not done a tour at the Sword of the Lord, someday during the week when you've got sometime between 7:30 in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you have time, maybe 30, 45 minutes or so, come over. You don't have to, it's no charge for it. It's just walk in and we'll give you a tour. And there are things there to see. And I hope that you'll take advantage of that. And, you know, while you're there, you can visit our bookstore, drive your truck so you got plenty to haul away, you know, buy lots of things when you're at the bookstore. But anyway, I hope you will come by at your convenience, and anytime, 5 days a week. We're delighted that you would do that. We have people come literally from around the world. I've had any number of people tell me that they've come to America for, you know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and primarily they said number one thing on their list was to come and tour the Sword of the Lord. And the reason for that is we have a clientele of people, just like folks here, that we serve literally in many, many, many countries around the world. And we're grateful for that. The Sword's influence has stretched to the far reaches of the planet. Amen. And not only with the paper, but here's something else that we can offer to you that I hope you'll take advantage of. But we do radio 5 days a week. We're on, let's see, I think 60-some AM and FM stations around the country. And in addition to that, about 10 or 12 social media platforms and the Sword website. So all you got to do is go to the Sword website, upper right-hand corner of the homepage, and push a button or two, and I'm right there any hour of the day or night. 15 minutes, you say, what are you doing? I get at the microphone. Daniel's my engineer. And we get in there every day. I open the Bible up and just go after it. I mean, we have a big time. And I think we'll do some things that you'll like. It'll be a help to you as well. In fact, the last 2 months, I have been one country each day. I've been saluting on air. And Daniel had run off a list for me of the countries just on the social media sites. And we can track that. But on the social media sites, we had listeners in 53 countries of the world, plus all across the U.S. And so I've been saluting one a day. And I just finished up that list, and he's running off another one for me for another month that'll probably have some others on it as well. But some of them, like the Ukraine, for example, that's in the news a lot. But the November printing that he gave me, there was over 500 hits on one of those social media sites from the Ukraine. Now, and, you know, so no idea the extent of that audience, but it's there and it's significant. And we're grateful for that, and we'd love for you to get in on it. We think we'll be a help to you and a blessing if you'll tune in on that as well. Got a little book table back there, and everything is discounted for you. So I hope you'll go by the table and use your credit card, your debit card, or Russian money, whatever you got. We're not hard to get along with, believe me. And a lot of good things on the table there. And if you're not getting the paper, consider signing up for the paper. We publish twice a month, so 24 issues. $20 for 24 issues. I mean, what can I tell you? And I guarantee you, just like what Pastor said, there'll be all kinds of things in there that'll help you. And so we want you to do it if you can, and would be delighted to serve you. Well, again, thank you for coming tonight. I know there are other things going on that attract a lot of people's attention. But, you know, I've always been kind of the mindset that whatever else is going on, so what? You know, church time comes, we're having it, amen? And so I'm glad that Brother Epley is of that same mindset, and you as well. Anyway, let's turn to Psalm 37 tonight. Psalm number 37. I love the Psalms. And fact is, they are, need to turn my phone off. That was me dinging there right then. But I love the Psalms, not just because that they are devotional type reading, not just because of the eloquence with which they are written, but there's a lot of depth in the Psalms. If you just dig in, you'll find that there's a lot of good, strong, solid teaching in them. And Psalm 37 is one of the, what I would consider weightier Psalms, in that it's got some heavy stuff in it. And anyway, I want to read verses 23, 24, 25, and 26, starting verse 23, Psalm 37. The Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He," that is, this good man, "is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed," or blessed. Now, as you look at that passage, and if you keep your Bible open for a minute or two, there is a great contrast drawn in this psalm. In the section that I did not read, a great contrast is drawn. As you think about what you find in the Bible, often there is a contrast between good and evil, between light and darkness, between sweet and sour, etc. The worldly way and God's way. The contrast is presented many, many times. Let me show it to you in this passage. Just follow me now, and I'll announce the verses. But whenever we consider, and we will do so just briefly here, what I'm going to call the world's way. And the world does have a way that it would try to induce us into. They're never happy. I'm talking about every worldly advocate on the planet. They're never happy to go down that trail alone. They're always trying to pull somebody else. And maybe somebody else has got qualities that they admire, but somehow or another they're not quite willing to embrace, but they think somehow that if they can pull us along with them, that maybe there may be some little benefit to them in the process. And they're always trying to lure us into where they want to go. And here's what the world's way is about. Verses 1 and 2. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." Drop down to the middle of verse 8. "Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off." Verse 10. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Verse 12. "The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken." Verse 17. "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken." Verse 20. "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again." Verse 32. "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged." Verse 35. "I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." Verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. That is the worldly way. Start to finish, that is the worldly way. Now, let's back up and look at the other side of the coin. Because in this chapter, we not only have that picture of the darkness, but we also have instructions to us if we're going to walk in the light. And let's look at that, starting in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. The last part of verse 9 says, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The second part of verse 17, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. The last part of verse 21, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Verse 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints, and they are preserved forever. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now that is the way that we need to go. That is the path that leads to the good life and that leads to the right kinds of things. And here we are now in this text where it talks about a good man. What I read in verses 23, 24, 25, and 26, where it talks about a good man. And I know already some of you, it's flitted through your mind, but the Bible says there's none good. I know it does in Romans chapter 3. And that's true about the unsaved person, the unsaved person. But whenever it comes to somebody who is walking with the Lord, this passage that right here tells us that it is appropriate that we would get ourselves so in line that the Lord God himself would say, a good man. Amen. And so you and I need to understand things in its context. And whenever we say nobody's good, well, we're all sinners. We really are. But at the same time, we need to understand that we can get ourselves in place where the Lord will say that he likes what he's seeing from us. We compare the picture that's laid out here with the picture that is painted so clearly in Psalm number 1. That passage talks about, on one hand, the godly man. It says he's blessed and that he doesn't walk with the ungodly and doesn't get his counsel from that crowd and doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. That godly man delights himself in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night. And the Bible says, hey, he's going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. I mean, let the drought come. Let the desert place develop. He's going to be all right because he has planted himself in the right place where he'll always be able to draw the sustenance that he needs. And then, of course, the other side of that painted picture in Psalm 1, he says so strongly and with, what I'll call a note of pathos when he says, "And the ungodly are not so." That's a different crowd. That's a different direction. That's something altogether on another wavelength. He said they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're here one minute and somewhere else the next, turning one way and then another, tossed back and forth, never dependable, never predictable. You can never nail them down because they're always vacillating, always changing, always headed down some other trail. And he says that ungodly, they're headed for a disaster. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, verse 6 says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that's said in Psalm 37 a good number of times as well. Now, we look at this text that I read, verses 23 through 26, and we learn some things about this good man. First of all, I call attention to his ordered steps. Here's a man, he's out and about. He's making his way in the world. He gets up every morning, and in order to get from one room to the other, he takes steps. In order to get out and go about his day, he takes steps. And wherever that he goes, wherever that he plants his feet, he is letting his feet go where he is ordered of the Lord. God has given directions, and he has let the Lord order where he goes, how he conducts himself, what he does in the give and take of the day. His ordered steps tell us a lot. If you think about some of the orders that are given in the Bible, I mentioned to you this morning, and I repeat here because it fits here, but a good schematic for figuring out the Lord's orders. Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. Good place to start. I had a guy this week, trying to convince me that, keeping the commandments he was going to do that and go to heaven. And, I don't think I'll have to talk to him a whole lot to demonstrate to him he's probably not keeping them. Every time that I've had somebody raise that question with me, I've said to them, I said, would you tell me what the Ten Commandments are? And I have yet to have somebody who can rattle them off. So if you can't rattle them off, how are you keeping them? But anyway, starting with the Ten Commandments, that's a good place for us to get orders. If you go to the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, more than 1,000 items in that 31 chapters. And by the way, verse 1, chapter 1 of Proverbs says, the Proverbs of Solomon. That word Proverbs in the Hebrew is a little word mishlei. And it's not Proverbs in the sense of cliches or little adages, but it's like rules. Rules. Oh, rules. Oh, the worldly crowd, they hate rules. The carnal crowd, they hate rules. But God's given us a bunch of them. So we're going to do the Ten Commandments, we're going to do the book of Proverbs, and then these Psalms, 150 Psalms, there's all kinds of instruction. And then we get to the Sermon on the Mount. Some of the liberal crowd, they'll talk about the Sermon on the Mount like it's just, it's just such soft soap and we like it so much, they haven't read it. There's a lot of pretty stout stuff in the Sermon on the Mount. And then you get over to the epistles, start in Romans and go all the way through the epistles. Get all kinds of instruction, all kinds of good help, things that will absolutely give you the kind of direction that you need in your life. And here we are talking about, how are we going to get to be this good man? Ordered steps. Letting the Lord give us direction about how we live. Now, second thing that I point out about this good man, also in that 23rd verse, is his borrowed delights. His borrowed delights. You say, why do you say they're borrowed? Because he apparently doesn't have them nailed down himself, but he's looking at the Lord's delights, and it says, and he delighteth in his way. So once in a while I've had somebody say to me, well, I don't think I have a lot of convictions. I say, hey, I'll loan you something till you get yours. That's why you need to get a mentor. You need to get a mentor that is a godly mentor. And if that guy says he's against something, go ahead and be against it. Or if he's for something, go ahead and be for it. You say, well, I don't know why he's against it. Just follow him. If he's a godly man, if he's following the book, you may not understand it yet, but borrow the conviction for the moment and you'll be on safe ground. You know, you say, well, I don't know about all these people alive today. Well, hey, pick up something from Isaiah. Pick up something from Jeremiah. Pick up something from John the Baptist. You know, you'll be all right on them, all right? And this man, this good man, we look at his ordered steps and then we look at his borrowed delights. You notice how I read that verse there a little while ago that says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That tells me that if I'll behave myself, if I'll get myself headed right, the Lord will let me have some things that I like. You know why that is? Because my likes will be on track so much with the Lord that he'll say, okie dokie. That's in the Greek. Okie dokie. He'll tell us it's okay. And he will let us have some things that we like whenever we get our likes where they need to be. So this good man, we're going to look at his ordered steps. Any of you have allergies? Good. Glad I'm not alone. And his borrowed delights. And then I want you to look in verse 24 because it tells us about his promised rebound. His promised rebound. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. One of the Proverbs says that a just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. And whenever a man is knocked down, whenever he gets hurt, gets betrayed, gets, his legs knocked out from under him in some way, if he's a saved man, if he's a good man, a godly man, he may be down for the moment, but he's not going to stay there. He's going to get up. I'll give you a little illustration that I like. When I was a boy, we lived for a little while in Detroit, Michigan. And I was 13, or about to be. And there was a man in the country who became heavyweight champion of the world. His name was Rocky Marciano. He was an Italian guy. And there was another great fighter who was the light heavyweight champion, a man named Archie Moore. Now, Marciano was undefeated. In fact, at the time of this fight, September of that year, big deal, publicized nationally. The time of that fight, Marciano was 48-0. Archie Moore had had about 150 fights, and he'd been defeated only a couple of times. But he decided he wanted to move up from being a light heavyweight to a heavyweight title. So he put on a few pounds, and they scheduled the fight. Now, at that point in time, Marciano had only been knocked to his knees. He had never been knocked down, but he'd been knocked to his knees only once in 48 fights. Fights were by knockout. I mean, the guys didn't last long with him. That night, I was sitting on the curb in a rough neighborhood in Detroit where we lived in a little duplex. I was sitting on the curb listening to the car radio, listening to that fight. Now, I know boxing's a cruel thing. It ought to be outlawed. but until it is, I watch it sometimes. But I was listening to it, and in the third round, Archie Moore clipped Marciano with a left hook and dropped him to his knees. And I can hear that announcer now. I can hear him saying, Marciano's down, Marciano's down, Marciano. He must have said it 20 times. Marciano's down, Marciano's down. And he took an 8 count, but he got up. He didn't stay down. And in the 9th round, he put Archie Moore to sleep. Actually, it was a TKO, technical knockout. But he won the fight, finished up 49-0, turned out to be his last fight. But now, I tell you that little illustration because you know, at a point where here's a guy, man, nobody can beat him. He's a winner, but somebody knocked him to his knees. Somebody cut into him hard and hurt him. And every one of us, I'm telling you, if you live very long, somebody is going to come at you. Somebody is going to hurt you. Somebody is going to do you damage. Now, one of the reasons why that from this pulpit you hear the advocacy all of the time, you know, get right, stay right, walk with God, be in church, read your Bible, pray. One of the reasons for that is on the day when you get hurt, you get knocked down, if you have built up the kind of strength that you are capable of having, you'll rebound. I promise you, you'll rebound. And the Bible says, this good man, we look at his ordered steps, we look at his borrowed delights, and we look at his promised rebound. Though he fall, though this verse says, he shall not be utterly cast down. He's not going to stay down. Now, also in that 24th verse, it goes on to tell us the reason that he's going to get up. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So we look in this part at his supernatural assistance. His supernatural assistance. He's got somebody on his side that's bigger than whatever obstacle he's got. Amen. Bigger than whatever problem has come to him. Bigger than whatever hurt he has. Bigger than all of the pressures that the devil can put on him. Bigger than all of the hurts and heartaches and burdens that come. We have supernatural assistance when we have the Lord helping us. And that makes the difference every single time. Every time. We move to verse 25. In verse 25 he said, and boy, what a glowing testimony this is. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken. What are we talking about here? We're just talking about his glowing testimony. I mean, here's a guy who said, yeah, I remember when I was young. I'm not there anymore. I'm old now. You know, if you live long enough, you'll get there. You know, you say, how do I do that? Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep getting up every day. Just keep doing it. And one of these days, you get old. And you'll be able to say, if you follow the pattern here, his ordered steps, his borrowed delights, his promised rebound, his supernatural assistance, you'll be able to say someday, oh, listen, I remember when the wife and I first married. I remember when the kids came along. I remember when we started the job whenever we went into business. I remember this, that, and the other. I remember. And all through the years, God has been good. God has walked with us. God has helped us. And the testimony will be all through. We've not gone hungry. If you'll pardon me to give a little testimony here. 1976. I'd already been pastor for 14 years. But we were not Independent Baptists. I was, I'd had some good things, the church where I was strong. But we had the albatross of that convention. And the burdens were heavy. And I was battling things that absolutely cut against everything I believed. And Betty and I talked about it, prayed about it, wrestled with it many, many days and nights. It's the only thing I'd known. I grew up in it. But there came a day. You say, why did the day come? Well, primarily because of the influence of Dr. John Rice and the sword. I got exposed to another crowd. And there came a day when I walked in, resigned my church. That meant the salary was gone. I had less than $1,000 in the bank. I had car payments. I had two kids in a Christian school. We had to move out of the house we were living in. We managed somehow to buy a house. Scraped together. In fact, a friend loaned me a little dab of money to be able to make a down payment on a house. Now, I just rehearse a little bit of that with you to tell you In the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of that, walking out, leaving people that we had known for a lifetime at that point, and nobody in the new crowd much who knew us. And I'm telling you, Betty can testify, Marlon can tell you, we never missed a meal. We never missed a meal. We didn't get skinny either. God was good to us. We never missed a payment on anything. Not on the car, not on the Christian school. We never missed a payment on anything. That entire time was never late on anything. You say, what's the deal on that? I'm just telling you. The testimony. You know, we were there, we got through that, we got beyond that, and God blessed far greater than anything that I'd ever dreamed of. Now, this man says here, I was young, now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken. God is good. And verse 26, verses, there are two early portions of that verse. He says, this good man is ever merciful and lendeth. What's that talking about? It's talking about his ongoing compassion. This good man is not just living for himself. He's not just bolstering his ego or whatever as he goes, but no, he encounters people. He meets individuals that he can minister to and help and be a blessing to and encouragement to, and he's doing that. He meets some people on the downhill side who are going to help along the way. I was sharing this morning with Mrs. Brown and her mother. Many of you knew Jimmy Tedder. And when we were living in Shelbyville in the 70s, and I was still struggling with that whole scenario I just described, the Victory Baptist Church was on the south side of the Duck River in those days. And any number of times for a couple of years, I would ease over there and walk in and sit down with Brother Jimmy Tedder. And you know what he did? He encouraged me and he helped me. I thanked him numerous times over the years. About every time I saw him, I put a heavy grip on him, on his hand, and thanked him for being a friend and being supportive and being helpful and being encouraging whenever I needed it so very much. You say, what are you talking about here? I'm just talking about a good man with ongoing compassion. And the final part of that, verse 26 says, and his seed, talking about his offspring, is blessed. We're talking about his long-term influence here. This good man, his ordered steps, his barred delights, his promised rebound, his supernatural assistance, his glowing testimony, his ongoing compassion, his long-term influence is obvious here. Because he has children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and they all are the recipients of good things because this good man let the Lord order his steps. And that is the way it ought to work. That's the way that it does work. Whenever we just plug it in, and day after day and year after year, we don't bend, we don't shift, We don't get out of sorts on a given day. We're not going to do that. We're going to say, no, I may be hurt, but I'm going to walk with the Lord. I may have something cutting deep inside of me, but I will survive it because God will be good to me and he'll help me through that. Amen. And so you may get hit and you may get hurt. And I'm going to ask you, do you want to be a good man? Good lady? But here's the deal, it all starts with a choice. We got to decide who we want to be. Got to decide how we want this thing to come out. It starts with a choice, and it does require a commitment. One time where we were also very frustrated with having our kids in the government-run schools, I had a new car. We finished up the payments on it. in early August, and the school payments started in late August, and it was just about the same. And I told Betty, I said, rather than put them in the, and listen, we're talking about eons ago. You think it just got bad? No. It's been bad a long time. And but I told her, I said that car payment, those school payments are about the same. And rather than put them in the back in the situation where they're being pounded with wrong influence, I'll drive a jalopy till the wheels fall off. I'll do it. Now, I didn't have to drive a jalopy, but I was willing to. It does require commitment, being willing to go down the line and take whatever carping gets thrown at you in the process. And by the way, when I talk about it starting with a choice, none of this gets done right unless there's been a genuine conversion. We get born again, get into the family of God, we can make this work. But if we're still playing at it and not converted, it's just going to be frustrating. But whenever the Bible tells us here, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, that is the good man, delighteth in his, that is the Lord's way. Though he fall, this good man, though he fall, yet he shall utterly not be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Oh, and he said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He, that is the good man, is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Oh, dear God, help us, I pray, that we'll sign on and determine that we will be like this. Stand up with me, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And just a moment, I'm going to ask you to sing with me that I've decided to follow Jesus.